These three volumes together comprise roughly 2,000 pages, all formatted in the characteristic two-column style of the original pulp magazines in which they were published. What's new in this edition? Several major changes differentiate this second edition from the first. Not the least of these is its name. While in the first edition this volume was subtitled Volume 2, we have eliminated the numbering scheme. What was subtitled Volume 1 is now subtitled The Early Years, and what was subtitled Volume 2, that's this volume, is now subtitled The Prime Years. Other changes are as follows. All 1926 work was moved from the early years to the prime years. This means The Call of Cthulhu, the most requested story of Lovecraft's oeuvre, is now in the second volume rather than the first, as are The Dream Quest of Unknown Kedath, Cool Air, Pickman's Model, The Strange High House in the Mist, and The Silver Key. This change has the effect of dividing this omnibus neatly into its two most natural parts, the pre-supernatural horror and fiction era, in the early years, and the post-supernatural horror and fiction era, here in the prime years. It also means that readers new to Lovecraft, who typically seek out The Call of Cthulhu and start there, will acquire the prime years in which his best and most representative work appears. We're hoping this will prevent readers new to Lovecraft from giving up on him too soon, as our sales figures from the first edition clearly suggest they have been doing. We have added some selections of Lovecraft's poetry to this collection. Other collections by other publishers, especially The Ancient Track, The Complete Poetical Works of H.P. Lovecraft, edited by S.T. Joshi, do a far better job of curating Lovecraft's poetry. But we felt that readers would appreciate having a few of his most relevant weird poems included in this collection. Finally, we've added a substantial work of secondary source scholarship, The Timeline of Lovecraft's Life and Work, which appears in the appendix at the end of the book, where it is easily referenced as needed. It is duplicated in the final pages of the early years as well. This is to ensure that the entire timeline is handy as a reference at all times. A biographical briefing. It is ironic that the writing for which Lovecraft is most remembered today represents such a tiny fraction of his total writings. His letters alone ran to hundreds of thousands of pages, but despite their volume, they had nowhere near the influence on 20th and 21st century literature that the spare canon presented in this modest three-volume collection has had. What follows here is a continuation of sorts of the brief biography of our author started in the early years. Again, this fleeting sketch is by no means a substitute for a real, detailed biography of the author. Rather, it's designed to help the reader fully appreciate the stories by placing them into context and understanding their role in their author's life. This is especially helpful in reading Lovecraft because throughout his career, each of his stories built on his previous work, sometimes in remarkably subtle ways. Lovecraft's writings were created in the context of a growing fictional universe to which his works make additions, references, and elucidations throughout his literary career. Being familiar with that context and with it that fictional universe, or as much of it as Lovecraft has chosen to reveal to us, adds a whole new dimension to the enjoyment of his work. And, as noted in the foreword to the early years, it's that familiarity that this edition seeks to provide to the casual Lovecraft fan. The more serious Lovecraft fans will, of course, want to read this introduction too, to make sure that none of the most common errors are repeated in it. I hope not to disappoint. But for them, and for other readers who are interested in a more in-depth treatment of the life and work of this fascinating author, I recommend the work of S.T. Joshi, especially his chef d'oeuvre, I Am Providence, The Life and Times of H.P. Lovecraft, a two-volume set published by Hippocampus Press in 2010 at 568 and 598 pages, respectively. And, with some reservations, the more controversial H.P. Lovecraft, A Biography by L. Sprague de Camp, 480 pages, the first true biography of Lovecraft published by Ballantine Books in 1976. Of the other professionally authored biographies, I have not yet encountered one that I can recommend to new Lovecraft readers as a thorough and intellectually honest entry point into the story of this man and his work. Howard Phillips Lovecraft was born into an old line family with aristocratic aspirations in the old New England town of Providence, Rhode Island. His childhood was as idyllic as can be imagined, or at least it started out that way, surrounded by loving parents and grandparents in a gorgeous Victorian